On October 5th, 2017, following months of rumors and much anticipation, Supreme opened its third store in the United States in Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Today we are here at the Williamsburg location of Supreme trying to get the box logos that everyone are going crazy for, but we don't know if it's going to happen. I've been reselling sneakers and Supreme now since 2008. I've been collecting since like 2007, 2006, so I've been doing it for a long time, and I mean, there's one reason why we're here. You're either a collector or a reseller. There's no in between.
But you're both.
I'm both, yes. I'm a big collector, but I'm a big reseller as well, yes. My name is Tony. I'm 21 years old. I'm from Queens, New York, about 15 minutes away.
What's your plan today?
My plan today is to see someone leave the store. I have cash on me. Not really corner him, just ask him what's the best they can let it go for and go home with the item. I'm hoping to get the shirt today for $700, eBay selling it for $1,000. But I could be a little persuasive. I'm known for that. I'm known to have a great personality for it. So hopefully I can persuade the person to let it go for $700.
I'll practice convincing somebody to sell you a t-shirt for $700 when they could get more today.
Hey, buddy, how are you today? You're all right? All right, listen, my man. I can get shoes. I can get other clothes. I can get items from all around, and I can get them for retail and less than retail. I can trade you for them retail, and I can sell them to you for retail. If you look out for me today, I look out for you in the future. You scratch my back, I'll always be scratching yours.
Welcome back to Relentless, a podcast about the pursuit of unusual aspirations, far-fetched ideas, or the latest box logo t-shirt. I'm Maddie Russell Shapiro, continuing my investigation into devoted fans of the brand Supreme in New York City.
I think that Supreme has done very well to make their brand what it is today. I think the appeal is the limited side to it. I mean, like, for example, right now I'm wearing a crew neck that if you go to any store and you buy a crew neck, usual retail value for a crew neck, a plain one, is about $50, $60. 2013, it was selling in the store. I paid $188. And now you can check this item on eBay. It's worth over $1,000. And that's the beauty of it.
I met Tony at the opening of the Brooklyn Supreme store. As you heard, for him, pursuing Supreme combines fun with profit. In my interactions with Supreme fans, the issue of money comes up a lot, especially the opportunity to resell purchased items and make good money in a relatively short amount of time. Whether or not resellers are fans, they are heavily represented on the line at every weekly Supreme release. And if I want to understand who lines up, I have to understand the resale market.
Last season, somebody was asking me, what brings me into the fashion? Well, I don't see this like as a part of fashion. Like for me, I see this as a part of the income. That is the story to get more money and to make, obviously make money. I mean, I respect people who buying them to wear. I wear that too. And I respect people who sell the stuff because that is their property. They have a right to do that. And there is nothing bad with that.
That's Anton. He's from the Ukraine and came to the U.S. in 2008. He works as a doorman in Manhattan, and I met him at the Week 1 Supreme release. You'll hear parts of our conversation throughout this episode.
It's not secret for anyone that to live in New York is not that easy. It would definitely will be good supplement of income, definitely.
How did you learn about Supreme?
Well, first I learned about sneakers. Late 2013, it was like almost 2014, it was like releasing Jordan 11, Gamma Blue, they call them. And I saw like people was like fighting for them. And I saw like somewhere like in Texas, somebody got killed just because of the shoes. And I said to myself, oh my God, people killing like for the shoes. Why not make money?
I had no idea people were killing each other over sneakers, nor did I realize how much money could be made. But this is a side of Supreme fandom that people are reticent to talk about, at least to me, a stranger with a recorder loitering outside the store. So I had a lot of exchanges like this one.
My name is Pei, I'm 23.
You get one of everything?
Almost.
And you're not going to keep any of it?
I'm going to give to my boyfriend. Yeah. He loves Supreme.
Okay, the quality of that recording isn't great. She said she bought one of everything in the store, which means she spent at least $2,000. She told me she bought these as a gift for her boyfriend. Now, to me, this sounded extravagant. But who am I to judge? Except, I needed to learn to be a bit more discerning because I had that exchange, and then, 30 minutes later, I saw her and her boyfriend selling her purchases around the corner. So, yeah, maybe her boyfriend loves Supreme, but she was shopping to make money. I had a lot of similar exchanges with Supreme customers. There was this guy.
My name is Yaya, and I just turned 20. And I got involved with Supreme like a few years back. I fell in love with some clothing when I was in high school, and I just started buying, and it turned into passion. Yeah. Every season I'm here, I'm buying.
What are you gonna buy today?
Pretty much gonna buy everything. Probably around like 3K plus.
What are you gonna do with all that stuff?
Most of it I'm keeping, and some items I'll probably get from some friends. That's about it.
And there was this guy I talked to in London.
Jerome, I'm 24, and I had number one.
No, oh, ah, I love getting to talk to number one. What do you do when you're not lining up for Supreme?
I work in a retail store, normal retail store in a shopping center, to fund my Supreme addiction, I guess you could say. Now I've managed to schedule my shifts at work away from Mondays and Thursdays so that I can make it here. I got the jacket, I got one of the Arabic hoodies, I got the yellow backpack, the yellow side roux bag, and the yellow camo headband. And yeah, that's about it really.
How much did you spend?
1,900 and something odd pounds.
1,900 British pounds is about $2,500.
Are you going to make some of that back?
No.
It's all for you?
All for me.
Do you ever resell?
Occasionally, but hardly. If there's stuff like this that I want, obviously I'll just keep for myself.
Both those guys waxed on to me about their love of the brand and fed me lines about buying for themselves. And then soon afterwards, there they were, making sales on the street. A Supreme shopping bag spread open for a customer peering inside, or the entire bag of merchandise handed off to someone waiting around the corner. To be clear, there is an enormous tension surrounding resale, especially when it happens in the vicinity of the stores. The security team is not only managing the line, but also doing all it can to discourage people from reselling. They shoo people away, call them out when they return, and insist again that they depart. They threaten to ban people from ever being able to line up again. It plays out like an ongoing game of cat and mouse, and I'm sure it impacts people's willingness to be honest with me. But despite security's efforts, reselling outside the store seems to be pretty efficient for a quick sale, though probably not the place to make top dollar. A key part of the resale system involves knowing which items will be the big sellers each week.
Before the drop happens every week, you already kind of know what will sell and what won't. There's like accounts on Instagram and Twitter that have some insider information that always leak the drops earlier. The hype stuff, you can tell just by looking at like what's gonna sell once you know like what Supreme is, but like there's also like the comments and stuff, like people say like, oh, I want this, I want that. So you have a good idea of it.
First, you determine what's the most desirable. Then
you also have to know how to market the stuff too. It's not just about buying it.
There's a lot to contend with in order to position yourself for success.
So is it fair? No, it's not fair.
I agree. It seems unfair to people who just want to buy something for themselves.
People probably pay the security guard straight up. They have friends. So, I mean, that's not fair either.
He said people might pay the security guards for an advantage. So he's not concerned about individual fans, but he is concerned about the lack of fairness between resellers. No reseller ever volunteered any concerns to me about the ethics of what they, as resellers, do. To secure Supreme merchandise, whether for yourself or to sell, everyone has the same two options on Thursdays, the stores and the Supreme website. So to create an advantage, you need more than just yourself.
My name is Malik. I'm from Harlem, New York.
Have you gotten a place in line this season?
I've gotten a place and it was horrible, like 432 or something like that, you know? So it's like, oh man. So that's like, I have no choice but to come out here and cash people out for over the price, you know?
Are you ever able to arrange that ahead of time?
Yeah, many a time through social media, like you'll probably see like on buying and selling, there'll people be like, oh, I got number two in line, I got number four in line. So, you know, you'll hit them up and they'll go with the best price that you could get them.
And do you find, are people pretty trustworthy? Like they'll come out of the store and they will give you what they said for the amount of money that you agreed?
Yeah, sometimes like people will go in the store, see the value of the item, or hear about the item and then change their mind once they come out.
This proxy system is not unique to New York.
Callow, 19, number 121.
Callow was in line at the store in London.
So it's everything you're getting pre-sold, essentially?
Yeah, essentially to this one guy. He's paying me 50 quid per item. I've got the money on me right now. I'll buy it, go out, say, here's your stuff. Give me my money. Just met him on Facebook. In a Facebook group, you just say you're going to, you know, proxy or resell, and people message you like, can you do this for me because I can't make it.
There just isn't enough Supreme to go around. But wherever there is a Supreme store, the advantage that locals have is used in the same way, like Malik does in New York City.
Honestly, I just came from work. But my business partner, he has what we call bodies. They was there, and then we had bought stuff from them. We actually give them the money so they could buy the stuff for us.
Bodies. People who stand online and buy for resellers. This is a pretty low-risk way to make money for time spent on the line at the store. Bodies are willing.
Willing to give you the items for, I guess, retail, and then you pay them.
How much will you pay someone to get you one of those things when they're inside?
I guess I'll pay them like 20 over, 15 over. I'm honestly making a lot more money than what I'm paying, but it wouldn't be a hustle if I didn't, you know. So.
Right. So you'll pay them a little extra, and then of course you charge more on top of that to the people who either won't or can't come line up.
Yeah, definitely. And Supreme is a big label, so everybody would like to buy.
Or is your business this Supreme or other stuff too?
It's Supreme and also limited edition sneakers. Well, I work at Macy's, so it's like a regular retail job. And this on the side is actually a lot more money than my job, but you know, you always got to have money on the books, you know?
Once you have the items in hand, there are a variety of business models for reselling. For Malik, it's
celebrities. Sometimes we sell to like upcoming rappers and stuff like that. And then also like people that's like outside that I love to have Supremes. Get a hat or just get a shirt just so I can have something that I could say that I stand in that line even though they didn't, you know?
But so how do celebrities find you?
Well, Instagram, social media, and word of mouth.
Do you have celebrity clients who are repeat customers?
Yeah, definitely, yes. So it's like every week if they'll find, like I'll send them a mass alert to all of them, and then they'll all see what they like and what they don't like, and then they'll just hit me back and then tell me what they would like.
Malik is like a personal shopper for Supreme fans, some of whom happen to be celebrities. Other resellers have more of a first-come, first-served model.
Dominic Sotelo, 21 years old.
Where are you from?
L.A.
All right, so where are we right now?
We're right now waiting for Supreme to open up tomorrow at 11 a.m., so we're camping out, trying to get our spots not taken.
I met Dominic in Los Angeles. There, the store has a different system. Customers have to line up overnight in order to secure their places at the front of the line.
Well, I mean, we're not really here to, like, do the whole reselling stuff. Like, we own a business, actually. So we have people, like, come with us as well, and we pay them to get stuff for us, and we sell it on our website.
Well, I think that is reselling.
It's called PrimeCop. Basically, we have subscriptions, so people subscribe every month in order to get something for retail. And we don't care what the price is, whether it's flipping for $1,000 or $100, we'll still sell it at the regular price that it comes out to. It's $3 a week or $10 a month, close to 2,000 subscribers.
So, like, how many people are you going to have in the store tomorrow?
We should have about 8 to 12. And we have people from Dubai, Canada, everywhere across the world shopping at our site. It's exactly like Supreme Highway. If you go to Supreme at 8 o'clock on Thursday, you would have to, first person to check out gets the items, same thing on Sunday. Yeah, so I mean, it's not a guaranteed, but it's another chance to get something at retail.
Do you sell out every week?
Yeah, we sell out in about, max is like 7 minutes, 8 minutes. I mean, I am a fan of the brand, it's just, I wouldn't necessarily like camp out just to get something for myself. This is more for the people that love Supreme and actually want an opportunity to cop it. I quit my job and I used to work at LA Fitness, and now we're here trying to build up a huge company.
Dominic and his business partners buy merchandise in the store and then charge others a fee to compete to buy it from them at retail prices. They're increasing the online stock for geographically distant fans. Other resellers have shops that sell new items, but at a markup.
Speaking of resellers, have you talked to the old lady?
OG Ma?
Yeah.
No, I've gone in the store once just to kind of check out what it was. Do you think she would be willing to talk to me?
She's expecting people to come to interview her.
Curtins and I are talking about a consignment shop in New York City called Unique Hype. It specializes in Supreme, and the woman who runs the sales counter, known as OG Ma, has quite a reputation. Curtins may be right that she is expecting people to come, but when I returned to her store, she declined to talk to me.
Why do you mention her?
She's the greatest example of just this anomaly. She's like an 80-year-old woman that has a thriving business of just selling Supreme. But it's like, what made this 80-year-old Asian lady just wake up one morning like, this is what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to sell this brand. We could talk about these kids all day, all night. Like, these kids, they line up. But, like, what about people like her? She's not a kid. You know, she's a responsible adult. And she's in the same mix.
She's not alone. I'm a responsible adult in the Supreme mix, too. Well, sort of. Anyway, to me, OG Ma looks closer to 60 than to 80. And as I understand it, Unique Hype is a family business started by one of her sons. But she is definitely the face of the business. She's featured heavily in its active Instagram account, wearing Supreme gear and playing with Supreme accessories and posing with the steady stream of celebrities who show up at the subterranean shop in Chinatown to buy Supreme. For resellers who are based outside New York, they can try to buy on the website each Thursday, but some will travel to New York City for major releases. When Supreme opened the store in Brooklyn, I met these guys.
My name is Joseph Davis.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
Where are you guys from?
Maryland. Yes, ma'am.
So when did you come up here?
Yesterday around 4 in the afternoon. We found an Airbnb, we booked it, and it was a no-brainer.
What is your plan for today?
Try to cop Supreme, and we get something to eat, and then probably head back up the road before all the traffic hits. I'm hoping to buy from somebody, and then we can go back up the road.
How much are you willing to pay for a t-shirt?
Right now, up to
$1,200. Wait, and then are you going to wear it?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. We actually have our own shoe business, and we deal in Supreme and Bape and different things like that.
So you're building up inventory?
Yes, ma'am.
Does your business exist online right now?
Yes, ma'am. It's on Instagram. It's YPFP underscore. It stands for Your Plug's Favorite Plug. And we work really, really hard. I actually have a regular job, but hopefully in another month, this will be my full-time endeavor. So right now, I'm a medical records technician. I work for Walter Reed for where the Wounded Warrior is at in Bethesda, Maryland. And also, I'm in school as well, trying to get my business degrees. Just working all angles.
I mean, you guys are one version of resellers, right?
Yes, ma'am. We are for the culture as well. So reselling is what we do, but we for the culture. You know, we want to give back to kids as well. We want to, you know, we want to take this thing globally. We just love this. Like, this is the entrepreneurship business. It's the only business I know on a Thursday morning you can be in Brooklyn and have the same people like you doing the same thing. It just feels good. Now they have to punch a clock, kind of.
The relative freedom of working for yourself is a common refrain. And though it is competitive, there is certainly a sense of community. In the vicinity of the store, people are constantly greeting each other in passing. Another common thing I hear is the justification that reselling is a way to validate and celebrate streetwear culture.
My name is Andre Dean. I'm 23 years old, born and raised in PG County, Prince George's County, Maryland. Met this guy earlier this year. We both had a passion for shoes and streetwear and decided to make it a business. I'm a computer science major. I'm still in school. This is my job at the moment. I'm working on getting my certifications so that I can make this, you know, this business even bigger.
And do you ship internationally?
Yes, ma'am. Back in June, the Adidas Zebra Yeezy release happened.
These are Adidas sneakers designed by Kanye West.
I had a customer in Italy. We linked up over Facebook. And I don't have to tell you, you know, the euro dollar is in our favor right now. So, you know, that was nice. That was nice to be able to sell and ship it over there and form that relationship.
It's crazy that you can just be like sitting here on a stoop in Brooklyn where you don't even live with
I don't know, three phones between you, one laptop that's not even plugged into anything, and you're like running your business. Isn't that crazy? It's like we live in the future, you know? Wow. I really do think there is something awe-inspiring about this. They connect with individual customers outside the U.S., people living in places where there are no Supreme stores, and where it is difficult or perhaps impossible to purchase online directly from Supreme. My understanding is that there is, in fact, massive reselling abroad, much of it to East Asia, where only Japan has Supreme stores.
There's a group of people that come out every week. They cash everyone out. Money, money. No matter who you are, they'll buy from you.
Those resellers, who are out every week buying as much as they can to ship to China and elsewhere in Asia, eluded me. As did the resellers who were running highly coordinated efforts with multiple proxies on the line. I saw the same guys week after week, sometimes on the line themselves, but mostly hanging out on the periphery, waiting for people to come out of the store and hand over goods. They were there for business. They were working. And they were not interested in explaining themselves, their motivations, or their business models to me. The resellers who did talk to me tended to be younger and were often straddling the line of reseller and collector, like this college student from Albany.
Probably keep some of it. Probably sell, trade some of the stuff as well. Like, you know, it's how the game's played, so.
One version of the game. Leverage your spot on the line to buy more of Supreme than you need. Sell what you don't want, and your earnings cover the cost of what you keep. A lot of people I talked to were students of finance, marketing, or communications. Supreme was like a case study for all of them. Here's another college student who comes in from Connecticut.
My friend and I, we actually run this as our own business on the side, along with classes. It's a great way to make money and also have fun.
What's the best sale you've ever made?
The best sale I've ever made was not actually Supreme. It was a pair of Yeezys. I sold them for about $2,250. Purchased them for, I think, $240 after taxes.
Essentially, for a lot of people on the line at Supreme.
You know, being from New York, you know, you gotta find some ways to make money. As a kid, you know, there's a lot of jobs out there. Here, you just wait in line, sell it, make money, sell an item, that's it. You make like a good $100 over one piece.
In other words, lining up at Supreme is equivalent to a part-time job.
My name is Kayleen. I just turned 19. I'm from Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. I work at a beauty store for a little bit above minimum wage, so I have that, and then I come to Supreme, and that helps a lot because I'm trying to save up for college. Today, I just bought the Patchwork sweatpants for $200. I saw them, and it's like before I buy something, I have to have an outfit, and I said, I like this. I know what I'm going to wear with it. So I just had to buy it. I struggled to buy sweatpants because I knew I could make money, but, you know, sometimes you just have to treat yourself.
I guess everybody struggles to get what they want from Supreme, even resellers. What does Supreme think about customers like Kayleen?
They hate us. They hate resellers.
Does Supreme hate resellers? I don't know. It's a question I would love to ask someone who works there. I wonder what Supreme thinks about all these people who feed the brand's popularity while making money for themselves. I wonder if Supreme takes any pride, as a very youth-oriented brand, in fueling so many young entrepreneurs. I also wonder how many businesses in New York City could benefit from workers with the gumption and determination of these resellers, like this 16-year-old.
How much did you just spend at the store?
$2,300 and a few cents. I got every single tee, every accessory. I paid the cashier a few money so he can give me multiple accessories. And then I got every single hoodie, two jackets, and that's pretty much it.
Wait, so meaning you, like, they're only supposed to give you one of each thing, but yeah, if you slip the guy some cash and then he got you more?
Yeah, they do.
So you just spent quite a bit of money. Are you going to make that money back?
Yeah, some of these items are already sold. Some of them I already have them listed on eBay. I have loyal customers. Some of them hit me up before they drop. Some of them I know in, like, around my neighborhood. I actually have one in Dubai, have one in California, one in Virginia. And then most of them are here, which are like consignment shops also. Depending on what's dropping, I end up cutting school. Sometimes I just don't show up pretending I'm sick.
The money fuels your business, but what else is the money for?
Right now I'm saving up for a car.
What kind of car do you want to get?
Cadillac ATS or Celica.
I feel concerned for kids who are so distracted from school by the Supreme opportunity.
Yet I can also imagine how these outings would be a satisfying combination of challenge and fulfillment. How buying and selling might be a welcome shortcut into that elusive aspiration of so many adolescents, being grown up. At the opening of the Brooklyn store, I met someone who was brand new to the resale game. Do you know the brand?
Honestly, not really. I literally just called my friend up, asked him how much is this stuff really worth, and he goes, a lot. So I literally just went there and hung out, and I got a shirt and resold it in like 5-10 minutes on eBay for like $1,100.
Okay, wait a second. So let me understand this. Are you familiar with the brand Supreme?
I've heard of it on social media.
Where are you from?
Orlando, Florida.
Do you live in New York?
Just recently I moved here for college.
What's your name?
Daniel.
Okay, so Daniel, a friend told you there's an opening of this popular brand, there's going to be some opportunity. So did you register online on Monday?
No. I came here for the special event that they had, which was like a private party for the launch grand opening today.
Attendees had access to a new T-shirt that was printed just for the opening, white with the box logo in camouflage instead of red, and a phone number printed on the back. So how did you get into the party last night?
I didn't. No.
Okay, Daniel, how did you get a T-shirt?
I bought it off someone that walked out of it. That's when I called my friend. I was like, hey, Cameron, is this stuff like really worth this much? And if so, should I buy one and have you resell it? And he goes, yeah, man, get anything you can get.
So were you just like approaching people as they came out of the store? Tell me what you said.
I was like, hey, are you down to sell something? And most people said no, but there was one person who kind of seemed like he would. And I was like, I will buy it for you right now for $600 in cash. And he was like, okay. So I just counted it out and handed it to him, and I took it.
And so then your friend immediately listed it on eBay?
Yeah, and in 5-10 minutes it sold. And I went and shipped it this morning. I gave him 25%. I'm going to make about $350, which is good.
For hanging out in Brooklyn for how long?
Less than an hour. I know, right? It's ridiculous.
Are you hooked?
I think I'm going to be here probably every Thursday to try and get some stuff and hopefully have my friend resell it. Because I don't think I'd ever spend this much money, though, on clothes for myself.
Does your school schedule accommodate spending Thursdays doing this?
Yeah, I only have class Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
With a first experience like Daniel's, you can imagine what an incredible temptation it would be to continue. Would you be able to resist the opportunity? While Daniel makes resale seem pretty straightforward, it's not always so easy to execute.
I'm 22, I'm from Brooklyn.
What number did you get?
16 and 168.
Note that he has two places in line. I'll come back to that.
Well, I resell life. I don't sell drugs, I don't scam. I sell concert tickets, hotel tickets, beer, AirPods, Snapchat glasses, anything that resells and is legal.
I'm not sure reselling beer is actually legal, but technicalities aside, that emphasis on legality is something I heard a lot. Comparing Supreme favorably to more corrosive kinds of addiction or more dangerous black markets. Over the years, Supreme itself has incorporated imagery and produced accessories that evoke the glorification of drug culture and other illicit activities, including the Scarface collaboration this season in week 8. But back to Amit and his resale hustle.
I actually went to Virginia yesterday. My Uber driver, we headed out to Virginia. I took a 10-hour trip to get that ID and debit card. Went out there, got it. Then another problem I ran into was, who am I going to get for that person? So I found someone, gave him $100, $275 for the trip. So I'm in like $375 already.
Okay, pause. I think this was a somewhat unusual maneuver for a New York-based Supreme fan. Usually, it's the proximity to the store that gives New Yorkers a distinct advantage. No need for 10-hour drives. As it turns out, I also interviewed Amit's proxy, number 16, though at the time, I didn't realize it.
Romeo, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm 23. This is my first time, actually, so I just wanted to try it out because my friends put me on about it, so...
Wait, and what number did you get?
Number 16, so I was pretty much the first group. You can say I got lucky.
Did you know everything you wanted to get before you went in?
Yeah, I had a list of it.
And so what are you up to now?
I'm going to head home.
Amit approached me later in the day with an update. My second conversation with him was not recorded. According to Amit, Romeo was his proxy, and he had indeed gone home after speaking with me. But Romeo went home with all of Amit's stuff. He returned the ID card, but somehow did not hand over the merchandise. That put Amit out thousands of dollars. And I never saw either of them again.
I have no idea if Amit caught up with Romeo and got his stuff back. I don't know if Amit was a particularly inept reseller or if he just had really bad luck that day. I don't know if being out thousands of dollars was devastating for him or just a minor setback, but my takeaway is that there are many ways for resellers' best laid plans to go awry. Are you wondering how much money resellers make?
How much did you spend today?
About $2,100.
How much are you hoping to make?
Probably about between like $600-$700.
How much did you spend today?
$1,025.
And how much will you make?
That I have no idea, to be honest. You know, it's not nowhere, you know, near crazy amounts because this week wasn't like super hyped up. So nothing super crazy, probably like $300-$400.
But that's worth your while.
Yeah, you know, I took a couple hours out of my day. You know, I stood in line. I had number 60. If I was like number 300, I wouldn't have come.
One of my assumptions has been that buying Supreme was a very time-consuming activity.
I didn't put a lot of time to this. I mean, I just signed up on Monday. Quick 10 seconds, and I wasted like 2 hours. I have class at 4 o'clock, so this is perfect around my schedule.
Anton isn't quite as dismissive about the toll the process takes.
I'm wondering, how does it feel on a Thursday morning when you're getting ready to go to Supreme, which, as opposed to on a work day when you're getting ready to go to work?
For me, it's every morning difficult to get up to begin with. So like, I don't like to get up early, either it's for the work or either it's like for Supreme. For me, kind of like there is no kind of like that excitement or like little kid, like in the Christmas, like they don't sleep overnight, they like waiting for the present, and they like in the morning they get in the present. No, like I do not have that. So like for me, like I would love to stay at home, but do not go anywhere. Basically, over there, it's already kind of like a same community of people. So like a reselling community. Some of them you like, some of them your friends, some of them you hate, some of them you dislike, some of them like you fight. This is easy money. On your job, like you gotta go like and be 8 hours, and you have to work and everything like that. But over there, you never know. Like for one day, you can make $1,000. But sometimes you cannot make nothing. Me personally, I would consider this like as a supplementary income. I would never do this like as a full time income.
Anton does like Supreme merchandise, but he is committed to Supreme because of the opportunity to make relatively easy money. As a result, he's become part of a community as complex as any other. There's the enjoyment of being part of an in-group, and there's the stress and uncertainty of being part of a competitive activity, one with real stakes. And while Anton wouldn't do this as a full-time job, others do.
Why are you here today?
I'm here to make this money. I'm like a middleman, so I have a middleman for my middlemaning, because I'm not in line. So then pretty much I'm going to get some pieces, and then I'm going to sell it to somebody else. I have a buyer, basically, for, like, right now. They call me Abby. I just turned 22.
What else do you do to make money?
This. Yeah.
This is how you make a living?
This is it. This is it right here.
Do you do, like, the whole gamut, sneakers?
Everything. Everything. Everything gets sold.
It seems to me that might be a kind of stressful way to make a living.
It can be stressful, but you know, it's like, it's to each his own, because it's just like either you have a job or, you know what I'm saying, you work a 9-to-5 and get like paid by the hour, or you do this and like get paid in 5 minutes, you know.
Is there like a bit of a thrill to this also? Like, you're never sure?
Without a doubt. Big thrill. It's a lot of thrill.
Do you think you'll be doing this 5 years from now?
Hopefully I'll have somebody else online for me, and I'll have like, and I'll be chilling on my yacht. You feel me? Yeah.
5 years yacht.
For sure. 2 years yacht.
You have an ambitious savings plan, I gather.
Oh, big plans.
Good. Ambition. It's good to have big plans.
Yeah. Ambition is where it's at.
With all this talk about resellers and their ambitions, let's not forget the people who are on the other side of all those transactions, the end users, the fans paying over retail to get what they want. Occasionally, I'd see them on the street, just a block or two from the store itself.
Basically, what's about happening behind us right now is a group of Europeaners who just came back from probably Italy. Their child is in love with Supreme, and I don't blame him because it's become a worldwide phenomenon, and he's just trying to buy a hat. But instead of spending $44, he's going to spend like $200.
But he can't get in line today, probably.
No, never. I don't think he'll ever get in line. like in his entire life.
I don't see too many of these transactions. They're mostly taking place at stores like Unique Hype and on the internet. I may not encounter these customers on the line at Supreme, but their numbers are just as legion, if not greater. You've probably noticed that this week's episode of Relentless is longer than the previous ones. I have mixed feelings about giving so much airtime to resellers, but my observations convinced me that Supreme fandom is inextricably linked to the possibility of profit. And I find reselling pretty interesting, both logistically and intellectually. I have numerous ethical questions about reselling, like, is it okay to buy things to resell and force people who want the items to pay a higher price? Do resellers pay taxes on their income? Is it okay to skip school or call in sick to work for an opportunity to make money by reselling? Is it okay to bribe people, like security guards or store employees, to get what you want? The justification, as you've heard, is that resellers are providing access to people who can't line up, or those who missed out on special items from prior seasons. How about this perspective on Supreme and resale?
There's a whole lot more things you could be like addicted to that could be so much worse. So the worst that happens is like you can overspend too much money on clothes. Give it a couple of months, a couple of weeks, and your value of clothes can actually go up as opposed to like certain cars. You know, you buy certain things like a car. Once you buy a car, like at least it goes half the value once you get it, you know? Whereas other things like clothes, it's not that bad. Like, man, you can give it like a couple of months and something that you bought for 100 could be worth 500.
He has a good point. How many items can you buy, use, and then sell for more than you originally paid? How often can you buy much of anything at a regular store as an investment? This value proposition is how a lot of Supreme fans justify paying a premium for a branded t-shirt or a branded shovel. They can enjoy their purchases, and if at some point they tire of them, then there's a really good chance that they will be able to sell for a profit. So even if resellers undermine the fun for diehard fans by taking more than their fair share of the spots in the line, resellers and consumers all appreciate the resale value of Supreme. And while resellers may not meet my standard for true fandom, as an outsider looking in, I can't ignore them. In terms of the overarching theme of this podcast, which is tenacity, resellers definitely check the box. They are dogged and tireless in their pursuit of merchandise and profit. In the next episode of Relentless, Anton's attempt, and my own, to buy something special from Supreme.
From Supreme, I never had enough luck and chance to get this Bucks logo hoodie. That's what I'm looking forward to. And I'm not trying to resell it. I want to keep it.
I discover another fashion subculture that's thriving in New York City. I attend Barbara Kruger's Soho performance spoofing Supreme. And a preview of what's to come on Relentless. Relentless is produced by me, Maddie Russell Shapiro. Music in today's episode was produced by Lawrence, Stripe Like Tommy, and Synchro. Several songs, including the closing credits of every episode, were produced by BSN Yeah, whose name I have mispronounced on each prior episode. But today, I'm finally getting it right. All this music was made at Building Beats, a DJ and music program that teaches entrepreneurial leadership and life skills to youth in New York City. Thank you to Building Beats, thank you to Anton, and thank you to everyone outside the stores in Manhattan, Brooklyn, London, and Los Angeles who agreed to an interview. Relentless is available on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. To find out more, go to therelentless.org, follow us on Instagram @TheRelentlessPodcast, and come back for the next episode.